FM's Big Red Bench.
With Reardon's on Washington Street. Probably the best bar in the world.
There is a crazy game going on at the Medeski Stadium at the moment. 30 minutes gone, 6 goals. We'll get up today on that one very, very shortly. It's absolutely insane stuff. Right, my name is Rory O'Hagan, here with Joe Harrington on the Big Red Bench for the next hour. We have a massive preview of tomorrow's Munster Senior Club football final to come. Castlehaven, Seanie Cahalan and Mark Collins give us their thoughts ahead of the game.
We've been favourites all year and maybe haven't performed, so we know everything is a bonus, as you said earlier, like, and just going to Sunday, if we give it everything, no matter what happens, we're probably, people are going to expect us to have been beaten anyway, so like, if we could come out on top, be a massive bonus.
Yeah, we've nothing to lose, like, so we might as well just give it a go on. If it's good enough, it's good enough, and it's not, like, you know.
We'll also hear from the Dr. Crowe's camp, their manager Noel O'Leary on the way.
They're a bit like ourselves. They had a we struggled in Quilty. They had a good win in Limerick. We had a good win against Camel Commercials, and they struggled against Stradbally. So I'd say this very moment in time when they'll even.
The Irish Examiner sports editor Tony Lean tells us where he thinks the game will be won and lost.
Give them a chance, and certainly a chance then that's better than 4-1 odds, and I think Crokes like are 2-7. I mean, when you consider it, the Kerry champions are 2-7 going into the backyard of the Cork champions. For me, that just doesn't make sense, I have to say.
Raphael's just gone off injured there for Manchester United, replaced by Chris Smalling. Rochapel and Munster semi-final action tomorrow. They take on Kenmare in the Junior Football Championship. Their manager, Tom Dooley, gives us his thoughts shortly.
Yeah, it has a great atmosphere in Rochapel now. You know, the doom and gloom has gone out of the test there, the decisions, what have you. The football brings it all together. That's all that's up in Rochapel is football. There's no other sport there. They don't play hurling or rugby or soccer or anything like that. So it's all GA, it's all football. And I hope tomorrow that we can play to our ability and see how far it takes us.
Munster back in Pro 12 action tonight. They take on Glasgow and Tuam in the pre-match. Thoughts of Rob Penny.
Let's get through Glasgow first. We've got some Rabo points to pick up, hopefully well before we even think about Heineken, one step at a time.
We have match reports from Cork. Connacht Dolphins wins today in the AIA. We'll have a full run-up today's Premier League's games today as well. And we'll also talk about Freddie Flintoff, quote-unquote, boxing before 7 o'clock this evening. Not a fan of what happened last night, I have to say. We also have tickets to give away to Spike O'Sullivan's fight, a proper boxing fight on December 15th in Neptune Stadium. Details on that shortly. First, though, Joe is going to get us up to date. 6 goals at the Medeski Stadium, Joe.
Yeah.
Half an hour gone. That's a goal every 5 minutes.
It is indeed. Yeah, absolutely incredible stuff. Robson Kanu gave Reading the lead after 8 minutes. Anderson equalised after 13. Rooney put United ahead on 16 minutes from the penalty spot. Then Lafondre and Morrison scored 2 goals in 4 minutes for Reading to put them 3-2 up. But Rooney has equalised on the half-hour mark. 32 minutes gone. Reading 3, Manchester United 3. Incredible. Earlier today, West Ham beat Chelsea 3-1. Arsenal lost at home to Swansea. That finished 2-0. Tottenham beat Fulham 3-0 at Craven Cottage. Liverpool had a 1-0 win over Southampton. Manchester City and Everton drew 1-1 at the Etihad. QPR and Aston Villa drew 1-1. At Loftus Road, and West Brom's good run has really come to a halt, losing 1-0 at home to Stoke. Cork City's under-19s, they've beaten Athlone Town by 5-1 in the Enda McGill Cup quarter-final in Bishopstown today. And Republic of Ireland captain Robbie Keane plays for LA Galaxy tonight in the MLS Cup final. They take on Houston Dynamo. That's a repeat of last year's title decider, and kickoff is at 9:30 Irish time. To rugby, Connacht are the first of 3 Irish provinces in Rabo Direct Pro 12 action this evening. At half time up in the sports ground, it's Connacht 13, Edinburgh 17. At 6, I suppose Leinster have just kicked off against Italian side Zebre at the RDS, while Munster take on Glasgow at 7:45 in Thomond Park. In some domestic rugby, AIL Division 1A, Cork Con 23, Shannon 15, and Dolphin won away at UL Bowes. That finished 19-9. In Division 2A, Middleton 6, Highfield 10, UCC 24, Queens 26. And it is some November International Series games today as well. World champions New Zealand were beaten by England. That finished 38-21 at Twickenham. And Australia got a try in the very last minute to give Wales a 14-12 win in Cardiff. Rory, you want to get in there?
Robin Van Persie has just put Manchester United ahead. Reading 3, Manchester United 4, 34 minutes on the clock.
Wow. In Gaelic games, disappointment for Bora Bui in the ladies junior club football final today, beaten by Thomas Davis of Dublin by 112-7. All at the Bala beat Ballyhale Shamrocks in the Leinster hurling semi-final. A cracker there in the rescheduled game. 111-110 is how that one finished. In golf, Gray McDowell tees off later at the World Challenge in California with a 3-shot lead. The 2010 winner is on 9 under par. Elsewhere, Martin Keimer has a one shot lead after day 3 of the Nedbank Challenge in Sun City. The German is on 5 under par. And very finally in racing, favourite Bob's Worth has won the Hennessy Gold Cup at Newbury. He finished just ahead of Paul Nichols, Tidal Bay.
I'm struggling to think of a game where I've seen 7 goals in 35 minutes.
I think it's unprecedented, is it? Like, it must, is it? Is it unprecedented?
That's a goal every 5 minutes on average.
Yeah, like, we all remember the Liverpool-Newcastle 4-3s, but that was over 90 minutes. 34 minutes gone, 7 goals. Crazy.
Reading of a free kick here, so wouldn't be surprised to see it go to 4 apiece. It's that kind of game. I reckon it's going to end up 5-4 to Manchester United, but we'll keep you up to date on that one. An absolutely cracking game there at the Medeski Stadium. Right, as I mentioned, we have a pair of tickets to give away for the Rebel Rising boxing event, which takes place on December 15th in Neptune Stadium. The main event, WBO International Middleweight Champion Gary Spike O'Sullivan taking on American fighter Dennis Sharp, the undercard as well, full of fantastic fights. Enter the draw. Text Rebel Rising, your name and full address, please, to 083-317-3336. It's Rebel Rising plus your name and full address to 083-317-3336, and we will draw the winners on tomorrow evening's show. Right, Reading just about to take this free kick. 36 minutes on the clock. Reading 3, Manchester United 4 is how it stands. And that free kick is tame enough, straight into the hands of Anders Lindegaard, starting his fifth successive game in goal for the Red Devils. A massive game in Páirc Uí Chaoimh tomorrow's Castlehaven take on Dr. Crokes in the Munster Senior Club Football Final. The West Cork side, no injury concerns for them. Well, the Crokes are also at full strength as Ambrose O'Donovan returns after injury. Castlehaven beat Drumbroadford and Stradbally to reach the decider, while the Kerry champions got past Kilmurry, Bracain and Clonmel to reach their third final in a row. Castlehaven captain Shani Cahalan and Mark Collins called into the studio yesterday where they spoke to Joe about tomorrow's decider. Joe, first asked Shani if the nerves had set in.
I suppose with all big games like that, there have been nerves right before, but sure, once you get out in the field, the nerves just seem to go away. Like, it's like any game really, like, you know, and we'll approach it the same as any other game. Like, you know, I suppose if we did it, it'd be wrong from us, you know. So, you know, we're looking forward to it and stuff, so it'd be a big game, all right, and so we'll drive on.
Yeah, when I spoke to you after you won Cork, you said, like, obviously you were taking Munster seriously, but it would have been a bonus. Has that changed now, Mark?
Not really. As you said, like we said at the start of the year, our main focus was to win Cork County, like, and we were delighted to do that, obviously. But we said once we got into the Munster Championship that we were going to have a right go off it, and there's no point sitting on our laurels. So obviously we've won the first two games, scrubbed through the last day against Stradbally and played poorly, like, so we know we're going to be up against it on Sunday. But as you said, everything now is a bonus, like, so we'll give it a right go and hopefully we might come out on top.
Was it nice to have that bit of a break since the Stradbally game, kind of recharge the batteries a small
bit? Yeah, I suppose it was. We've been on going, I don't know, 6 or 7 weeks in a row, like, you know, and you could see it in fellas, right, fellas were tired, like, and they were kind of living for football and stuff, so like, you know, it was kind of inside in the bubble and stuff we were, like, so it was good to get it to, you know, to have a little break from the game. And we were training now last Saturday, we didn't do that much now, to be honest, like, we just a bit of sharpening up more than anything, like, you know, and you know, you're not going to get any fitter this time of the year, like, so it's just... You know,
do you think it was important that you got that break, though?
I think it was, yeah, it was, like, because as I said, we were going for 5 or 6 weeks in a row there, and it's tough going in the body, and especially when the pitch is at this time of the year, it's a lot harder to train them and stuff, and it's a lot more muckier and stuff, like, so it's to get that break and recharge the batteries and stuff, like, you know.
Yeah, would there be any thoughts now on the Stradbally performance, the fact that it is a final and it is a cup final, like they say, and form kind of goes out the window, would you say?
Yeah, obviously, that's what we're hoping anyway, that we know semi-finals are there to be won, not to perform, and like, we might have performed well in the semi-final in the Cork County Championship this year and last year, and probably didn't perform in the final, so hopefully maybe performing bad in the semi-final will kind of refocus us and we might perform to our full capabilities on Sunday.
And I suppose he won ugly, but that's a good attribute to have as well, and I'm assuming you're pleased, but you could grind it out when you were really up against it at one point.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, it's a good attribute of a team, like, you know, when chips are down, we rallied, right, like, you know, and we didn't really kind of panic either, like, you know, we came out, especially there in the start of the second half against Stradbally, like, and, you know, we had the wind to our backs, like, and we said, you know, we pick away, and we kind of missed 3 or 4 scores in a row, like, you know, and other teams might have panicked, like, you know, and said, oh, the game is gone now, like, but, you know, yeah, we kind of stuck at it, like, and, you know, when we got the goal, then there was a bit more composure, we got 2 points kind of straight after the game, like, you know, and that kind of sealed out the game then, like, you know.
Yeah, like a lot of people say, all the good teams have that skill that they can grind out the win. Do you think that might have been something you were missing over the last few years, do you think?
Maybe, like, we obviously we're a very young team, maybe we didn't have that experience. And that maybe has grown in the last couple of years, and especially this year we seem to have won a lot of tight games, like we've come back from being behind a few times. But obviously I think we've had that bit of luck as well this year that maybe we didn't get last year, like, and that makes a big difference. Like, we've got lucky goals, well, maybe not lucky goals, but you know, they came at the right time in the county final and again the last day, and that makes a huge difference. Like,
what's the feeling around the place now ahead of the Munster final? Must be biggest excitement down there.
It is, yeah. It's like, as I said, it's a big game, like, you know, and we haven't been in a Munster final for 15 years. 1997 was the last time we were there, like, so there's a good buzz around the parish and stuff, and people are looking forward to it, like, you know. And I'd say the players now and everyone involved in the panel and stuff are really looking forward to Sunday.
Have people been talking to you about 97 then?
Yeah, obviously, like, we have a few fellas involved with us who have won Munster medals, like Niall Callan, John Cleary, and Niall just says that it was the couple of the best games he ever played in, like, and that he always will look back on those matches he's played in Ireland finals, he said, with Cork, like, but he always loved playing in Munster Club Championship games with Castlehaven, and he just said that one of his biggest regrets was never winning in Ireland Club, like, and he has that hope for this team that, maybe not this year or whatever, but in years to come, that we might be able to win an Ireland Club.
Yeah, I was talking to Damien down at the Reardon's Awards there a few weeks ago, and he was saying there'd be a little bit of slagging going on around the place with these lads having Munster medals in their pockets. That's something that you obviously want as well after Sunday.
Oh, obviously, we actually, Castlehaven have a good record in the Munster. I think we've only been beaten once in 2003 by an O'Gaeltacht, and they were a good outfit that time. Like, but so we have a good record in Munster, and you know, sure, yeah, the boys have, a lot of the lads have our Munster medals and stuff, so you know, it'd be nice to be a nice achievement and nice to win one.
And Dr. Croke's standing in your way, couldn't be much tougher, I suppose.
Yeah, they're a formidable outfit, alright. They have some top class players, and obviously, like, they've been around the block as well. They've been there the last few years, won Munster Club, so we know obviously we're going to be up against it, but we'll give it 110% on Sunday, and you'd never know, get that bit of luck again and we might come out on top.
And Mark, you would have played with Johnny Buckley and Docky Casey last year, would you?
Yeah, I played with them in UCC for a few years. We were in the same fresher team, so we kind of grew up together in UCC. We played there for 4 years and came good friends with them, and obviously they played against us in the county final last year, and I know how good, what talented players they are, like Johnny Buckley coming on for Kerry this year, very good midfielder, and Docky Casey, classy forward who can score off both feet, so I know a lot about them, and they are top class players. Yeah
also the mention of Colin Cooper, obviously he's in there as well, Sean. I suppose the defence will have to keep their eye on him. Oh, obviously.
Yeah, it's true, like, you know, but they have an array of good forwards, like, you know, and I suppose you kind of have to watch out for the whole lot of them, not just Colm Cooper, or, you know, you've like Killian O'Leary, you know, and you've Dahi Casey and a couple more there, like, they're all top class footballers, like, and you know, any of them forwards are match winners in the day, like, you know, so you can't just look at one player in particular, like, you're going to have to look at their forward unit in general.
Have you had a look at a few videos of their performances or anything like that?
We've kind of seen them. They were on the same day as us, so a lot of us have the tapes at home of the county final and Tina G as well when they played Dingle. Yeah. They were very impressive that day. They had the game killed off after 20 minutes kind of with two great goals, and as Shawnee was saying there, like, you can't man mark one man. They have six top class forwards who can all score, like, and if you stop one fella, the other fella's going to do the damage, so obviously it's just going to be a collective effort out of us on Sunday.
Yeah, key for them this year, and I suppose over the last years, has been possession. Once they get the ball, they don't give it away too easily.
Yeah, I suppose, like, as I said, look, they're all good ball players, like, you know, and they are one of the top teams in Kerry, like, and come from Kerry. There's a good tradition of football and stuff, like, you know, and, you know, they rarely would give away the ball. And as I said, they're all good ball handling skills and stuff, like, so we know we're up against it, no son. There were a big battle ahead of us, like, you know, so.
Yeah, Mark, looks like you'll be lining up against Owen Brosnan. I spoke to you before. You've played against him for Cork and Kerry in a competition before, have you?
Yeah, I marked him in the league this year in Parker. Even obviously he's a top class defender, but not only that, he's very good going forward as well, and we'll have to watch that on Sunday, but yeah, he's a very good player.
Yeah, but I suppose, like, you talk about their forwards, but we have to talk about your defence as well. I think only one goal conceded in all year, really, I suppose. So that's something for you to build on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they've been outstanding, no, all year, like, in all fairness to them. And I suppose our forwards really kind of haven't been performing as well as we'd like to be, like, so hopefully, you know, there's a big performance in the forwards no Sunday, because if there's not, we probably wouldn't be good enough to go on and win it, like, so, you know, we've been relying on our backs all year, like, so hopefully, you know, there's a big one in the forwards this Sunday. So
the bookies have you as underdogs. Would that suit you, or would you even care?
Yeah, I see that we're kind of massive underdogs going into it, and obviously it'll probably help us, like, we've been favourites all year and maybe haven't performed, so we know everything is a bonus, as you said earlier, like, and just going to Sunday, if we give it everything, no matter what happens, we're probably, people are going to expect us to have been beaten anyway, so, like, if we could come out on top, be a massive bonus.
Yeah, we've nothing to lose, like, so we might as well just give it a go, and if it's good enough, it's good enough, and it's not, like, you know.
What about the fact that it's on a Páirc Cuíve? Does that make any difference?
Not really, like, we played there a couple of times, two county finals, obviously, like, and maybe the pity about it is, even if there's a big crowd, there won't be much of an atmosphere there, but it's top class pitch there, ground will be perfect, so hopefully it should suit both teams for a good game of football.
Do you think you'll have to play it 100% to beat them?
Oh, definitely, and more even, like, you know, so we are really up against it, right, like, but sure, look, we'll, as I said, we'll give it a go, and if that goes good enough, we're hopefully we'll come out on the right side of it.
Yeah, so do you feel, though, like you said, if you get that bit of luck, play to the best of your ability, that you can beat them?
Oh yeah, obviously, like, it's 15 against 15 at the end of the day, like, and they mightn't perform on the day, and if we perform to 110-120%, we might come out on top, like, and as you said, just get that bit of luck and could make all the difference.
And is there quite confidence amongst yourself in your own ability that you can do it?
I suppose you'd have to be there. You have to be quite confident in your own ability, like, you know, like, there'd be no point going into the game no Sunday if you didn't believe that you were going to win, like, you know, you'd be hiding to nothing, like, you know, so, you know, you just, as I said, look, if we get a performance out of the forwards and our backs are tight, you know, the game might be there about 5 minutes to go, and who knows, if we get that bit of luck again, we could come out to the right side of it.
Yeah, fingers crossed, lads. Best of luck on Sunday.
Cheers. Thanks, Joe.
That's Seanny Cahalan and Mark Collins there speaking about tomorrow's game against Dr. Crooks. Best of luck to Castlehaven. Crooks manager is Noel O'Leary.
Well, Noel, have you the homework done on Castlehaven?
We have, Gary. We hope that everything done to Gary. They're a bit like ourselves. They had we struggled in Quilty. They had a good win in Limerick. We had a good win against Clonmel Commercials, and they struggled against Stradbally. So I'd say this very moment in time we're nearly even.
Yeah, I know. I spoke to you after the Clonmel game there that day in your own home patch, Noel. It was a good win, but it was only afterwards when I was coming home. I don't think you were ever in fearing of losing the game, but to take into perspective, Clonmel were missing three or four of their main players that day.
Yes, Gary, they were missing three of their big guns, three of their Tipperary senior players. Plus, we were playing at home. Imagine if we were playing above in Clonmel Commercials and they had the three boys. It would be a different story.
Yeah, so has it been a bit of a break since then, has it?
Well, I suppose we had a break last week, and I suppose, you know, it helps the boys. Hopefully we're refreshed again for tomorrow, and that's the most important, is tomorrow.
That's Noel O'Leary there, the Crokes manager, speaking to Radio Kerry earlier on today. Manchester United should have had a fifth. Robin Van Persie had the ball across the line from close range. The defender got a foot on it, cleared it. It was a good foot and a half at least over the line. Linesman didn't see it, referee didn't see it. Remains Reading 3, Manchester United 4. United have used two substitutes already. Anderson's gone off injured with a back problem. He is replaced by Phil Jones, and Rafi, yeah, was substituted earlier on. Thought it was an injury. It was actually a tactical substitution. He was replaced by Chris Smalling. Just at the halftime whistle there. Now it's Reading 3, Manchester United 4. Tony Lean is the Irish Examiner sports editor. He's been speaking about tomorrow's game in a bit more detail.
I think the odds for tomorrow's game are absolutely ludicrous. I mean, I think Crokes will win. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Castlehaven win. And I'll say that for the following three reasons. Number one, Castlehaven are a really dogged outfit. They won't concede an awful lot of scores. I know they may be limited up front, but the game is also, you know, they might disagree, but the game is in Cork. It's effectively a home game for them. Now, I must admit, if I was Castlehaven, and I don't think, in fairness, it was completely their decision, I wouldn't have wanted the game in Páirc Cuíve because of the size of the pitch would probably suit Crokes. But I think people who know Crokes, Joe, and you know Crokes as well, you know, is...
I mean, this is the time of the year where, you know, they are vulnerable. And if you are going to catch Crokes, you know, it's on heavy ground in November, December, because they are still a top of the ground team. You know, you look at their forwards, they're all pretty light forwards. I mean, you know, literally from Chris Brady to Jamie Doolan, you know, I mean, even Goose would be considered one of the biggest of the forwards. So this game could go one of two ways. I do think, in fairness, if Crokes get out of a trap early and they do what Crokes do to an awful lot of teams, is put a goal or two on them early, then yes, I can see Crokes winning. But I just think that the longer that this game goes on and the longer Castlehaven hang in there, I give them a chance. I wouldn't call it a great chance, but I give them a chance, and certainly a chance that's better than 4-1 odds. And I think Crokes like are 2-7. I mean, when you consider it, the Kerry champions are 2-7 going into the backyard of the Cork champions. For me, that just doesn't make sense, I have to say.
Yeah, pretty long odds, right? A lot of people expect Crokes to play their own game, and everyone's focusing on how Castlehaven are going to line out. People saying they're going to put 12 men behind the ball in defence. How do you see them setting up tomorrow?
Well, the one thing I'd say, I mean, I've seen a couple of people talking about Damien Cahalan going back on Colm Cooper. And from a Castlehaven point of view, I think that would be a mistake. I've seen quite a few of Castlehaven's championship games this year. I think that, you know, Damien Cahalan has knocked off a lot of rough edges from his game this year. I think he's been really, really good, possibly the best centre-back in the championship in Cork. He's certainly a guy that you want to have on the front foot when you have the ball, and he's not going to be able to do that from cornerback. Now, I know people said, oh, but, you know, didn't he take care of Donough O'Connor in the county final? Completely different story. Donough O'Connor lined up first at wing forward. He was still roaming mostly out around the half forward line. I mean, the thing with Colm Cooper is it will play completely into Crokes' hands if they want to put Damien Cahalan on the corner, because you're taking out one of the most pivotal men of the back, say, nine players for Castlehaven. I would leave Damien at centre-back. I would probably maybe put someone like a David Limerick, you know, or someone like that on Colm Cooper. But I don't think Castlehaven, and that's why I agree with you in terms of them playing deep, I don't think Castlehaven can do what they did to Duhallow. They can't identify one forward in Donough O'Connor, because Crokes have Kieran O'Leary and they have Brian Looney and they have Dahi Casey, and, you know, they do have a lot of options up front. So I think it's going to have to be a more systematic thing for Castlehaven rather than identifying any one-on-ones and saying, okay, should we put Damien Cahalan on Colm Cooper? I think that will be counterproductive for Castlehaven tomorrow if they do that.
Just in terms of team news, Castlehaven have a clean bill of health. Ambrose O'Donovan back for Crokes as well. He trained during the week, I think. How big a boost is that for the Kerry side?
Well, it's good in two respects, Joe. Number one, obviously, because, you know, at this time of year, and I mentioned that Crokes are a top-of-the-ground team, but, I mean, in terms of their two midfielders, they are two powerhouses. I mean, Johnny Buckley and Ambrose O'Donovan are two big, strong lads who will thrive in these conditions. But the second reason it's beneficial is that it actually allows them revert to their preferred system, and that means that Owen Brosnan drops back to centre-back and you're not trying to put square pegs in round holes. Mm. You know, and if Castlehaven are looking for, you know, areas to exploit, Owen Brosnan is a super footballer, as we know. He's an inter-county player, he's multiple All-Ireland winner. But Owen Brosnan is not a tight marker, and that's the one thing where, you know, if Castlehaven can get Mark Collins into the game, and we saw in the county final that when they did get him into the game early in the second half, he ultimately proved to be the difference between the two sides. I just think if they are looking for areas to exploit, then certainly maybe they need to get Mark Collins into the game early, because, as you well know, Owen Brosnan is not your typical marking, holding centre-back. He likes to be on the ball, he likes to be involved. And, you know, maybe there's a small thing there for Castlehaven to look at.
Yeah, is Collins the key man for you for Castlehaven tomorrow? Because when he ticks, Brian Hurley seems to tick as well inside, because they have such a big kind of relationship built up.
They do. I mean, Mark Collins is crucial because he can obviously influence the play further out the field, Joe. I mean, Brian Hurley is deadly, and we saw, you know, in the county semi-final against Skibbereen, if you give Stephen Hurley ball inside on the edge of the square, he will cause any fullback problems. I mean, he's a low centre of gravity, he's quick, he's strong, he's powerful. But unfortunately, he is relying on other people to load the weapons for him, you know, and he's obviously only going to be at the receiving end of quality ball from out the field. So to a large degree, you know, Stephen Hurley is only going to be as effective as Castlehaven are in terms of winning possession. But I think Mark Collins can get on the ball more. He's a big, rangy. And obviously, if he's getting on the ball and he's running at Crokes, then they have a chance. I mean, and, you know, I do give them a chance. I know that they're in bonus territory now. And, you know, I've heard three or four Castlehaven people saying that the pressure is off them. The big pressure for them was to win the county. And so in some respects, that weight is off their shoulders. Now, that can work two ways. You know, maybe you lose that edge a small bit. But I do think if with the pressure off Castlehaven a small bit, I would be looking for a little more from them offensively. You know, they have been, they were obviously very tight and tense and stressed in the county final, you know, and they got there with, you know, with a Shane Nolan goal. They struggled again against Stradbally. You'd like to think that they might, you know, take off the handbrake and, you know, maybe give it a bit of a cut up front tomorrow and see what happens.
Yeah, I suppose, like, in fairness, looking back over their season, when they have kept the games tight, they have found the key score, the key goal. Shane Nolan got it in the county final. He got it against Drum Broadford. I know they went on to win that game well. And even Shawnee Cahalan got it against Stradbally the other day. So that's probably something maybe in Croke's thinking, do you think?
Yeah, well, I do think for Castlehaven to win, and, you know, I think pretty much everybody is agreed on this. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a kind of a 2-14 to 1-16 type of game. It's not, I don't think it's in Castlehaven's arsenal to do that. And I do think it's in their best interest to keep it tight and to make sure that when they don't have possession and they are under pressure, that they're actually limiting the damage, that they're not alone. Because, you know, there is no better side in that I've seen for many, many years to exploit possession as well as Crokes do. And I don't mean that in just in terms of keeping the ball, which they can do for long stretches, but I'm talking about their goal-getting ability. They're an unbelievable side. I mean, you know, even in the county final, Joan Kerry against Dingle, Dingle were very much in the game early on. You know, you thought to yourself, you settled down and you thought to yourself, this could be a really interesting county final. And then all of a sudden, in 2 minutes, bang, bang, two goals, and effectively the game is over. And Castlehaven obviously cannot allow that to happen, because I don't think that they have the firepower up front to pull it back if it does happen. So, you know, in every sense, Castlehaven need this to be a close, tight game. They need to be within a goal, within a score, within maybe 4 points, whatever, with, you know, going into the last quarter. Then at that stage, obviously, you're looking at putting a small seed of doubt in Croke's minds. But, you know, having said all that, they've been here before, Crokes have, and you'd like to think, if you were a Crokes fan, that they have enough around the pitch to overcome whatever Castlehaven can throw at them.
You're going with Crokes by how many, Tony?
I do. As I said, when we all saw those odds yesterday, you know, there was a flurry of bets around the sports desk in the Examiner. There was fivers and tenors and spreads and odds changing. I think Crokes will win. I don't think Crokes will win by anything like the kind of the double digits that people are talking about. I would imagine, to be honest with you, it will come down to somewhere between maybe 3 and 5 points for Crokes.
That's Tony Lean there of the Irish Examiner, looking ahead to tomorrow's game between Castlehaven and Crokes. Reaction on that game coming up on the Big Red Bench tomorrow from 6. Half-time, Reading trail Manchester United by 4-3. We'll get you all those scores and more when we return. We will also look ahead to Rockchapel and Camare, and look ahead to Munster and Glasgow tonight, all coming up on the Big Red Bench between now and 7 on Cork Red FM.
FM's Big Red Bench with Reardon's on Washington Street, probably the best bar in the world.
106 Cork. Red Drive
with Dave Mack.
Wednesday, 5th of December, from 10 to 1 in Douglas Village Shopping Centre. It's the school's Christmas fair, organised by South Cork Enterprise Board, and you can join me, Mac, and the Red Patrollers from 10 to 1 in Douglas Village Shopping Centre on Wednesday, 5th of December, and support your local school enterprises and get some super Christmas gifts for all the family while you're at it.
Red Drive.
Weekdays from 4.
Red FM's Big Red Bench.
With Reardon's on Washington Street, probably the best bar in the world.
Red FM.
Very welcome back to the programme, looking at the Rock Chapel and Kenmare. Shortly, first though, Joe's going to wrap up what's been a pretty hectic day in the Premier League.
Yeah, we'll start with the evening kickoff at the Majeski Stadium. It's Reading 3, Manchester United 4. They're just kicking off the second half there. Earlier today, West Ham beat Chelsea 3-1. Arsenal suffered defeat at home to Swansea. That finished 2-0. Fulham lost 3-0 to Spurs at Craven Cottage. Liverpool had a 1-0 win over Southampton. Manchester City and Everton drew 1-1, as did QPR and Aston Villa. And West Brom lost at home to Stoke. That finished 1-0. Cork City's under-19s beat Athlone Town 5-1. That was in the end of McGill Cup quarter-final in Bishopstown. Republic of Ireland captain Robbie Keane plays for LA Galaxy tonight in the MLS Cup final. Galaxy take on Houston Dynamo. That's a repeat of last year's final, and it kicks off at around 9:30 Irish time. To rugby, Connacht are in Rabobank Pro 12 action this evening. 65 minutes gone at the sports ground, and it's currently Connacht 16, Edinburgh 24. Leinster and Zebre kicked off at 6 o'clock. Leinster currently lead that one by 10 points to nil, and Munster take on Glasgow at 7:45 in Thomond Park. In domestic rugby, AIL Division 1A, Cork Con 23, Shannon 15, UL Bohemians 9, Dolphin 19. In Division 2A, Middleton 6, Highfield 10, UCC 24, Queen's University 26. And a few November International Series finishing up today. England beat New Zealand by 38 points to 21 at Twickenham in a cracking game. And Australia scored a last minute try to break Wales' hearts. That finished 14-12 in Cardiff. In Gaelic Games, the All-Ireland Ladies Junior Club football final took place today. Borabui lost to Thomas Davis of Dublin. That finished 1-12 to 7 points. Owler at the Bally beat Ballyhale Shamrocks by 1-11 to 1-10 in their rescheduled Leinster Hurling semi-final. To golf, Graham McDowell tees off later at the World Challenge in California with a 3-shot lead. He won the competition 2 years ago. He's on 9 under par. Elsewhere, Martin Keimer has a 1-shot lead after day 3 of the Nedbank Challenge in South Africa. He's on 5 under par. And finally, in some horse racing news, Bob's Worth has won the Hennessy Gold Cup at Newbury. The Nicky Henderson trained horse, ridden by Barry Geraghty, finished ahead of Paul Nichols Charge Tidal Bay.
Thank you, Joe. Just a reminder of our competition, we have a pair of tickets to give away for the Rebel Rising boxing event that takes place on December 15th in Neptune Stadium. Headlining that night, Gary Spike O'Sullivan, the WBO International Middleweight Champion from Cork, from Man, exactly, taking on American fighter Dennis Sharp. Gonna be a cracking night of fights. Enter the draw. Simply text Rebel Rising plus your name and full address to 083 317 3336. We'll name the winner on tomorrow night's show. Now, Rock Chapel taking on Kenmare Shamrocks in the Munster Junior Football semi-final tomorrow afternoon. The Cork champions received a bye to the last four of the Kerry side at a 23 point win in their quarter final last weekend. Rock Chapel manager is Tom Doody in conversation with Joe.
Well, our fitness levels are okay. It's just maybe a few niggling injuries, but we'll pull off a full hand tomorrow, so we're ready to go.
Great stuff, and I suppose it's been a hell of a year for you, county champions and league champions, so things couldn't have gone better, I suppose.
No, indeed, you know, in the start of the year, if we were told we'd be in this position tomorrow, we'd be very delighted with ourselves. But look, that's the way it happens. The beauty of Lucas Wizards this year, and we had the Drogheda League and Championship, Cork County League and Championship, but look, tomorrow's a different ball game. We know we're up against it, and look, we're ready for it now at this stage, so just hoping that the hours have passed quickly and get on with it.
Yeah, a month since the county final, but I suppose you've had a few league games since, so that's been a bit of a help, I guess.
Well, it helped us a good bit, alright. We had a game against Tyke McCarrigs in the semi-final, and then we had the county final against Mitchelstown, which helped us there 2 weeks ago, so the couple of games kept us going, so it's better than all the training, but look, conditions are bad for training these days, so look, we're ready to go again tomorrow.
Did the lads need a bit of a break, do you think, after the year?
I wouldn't think so, no. I mean, it's their first year now. It's for a long time they're going into December, so
yeah.
I think the stamina is holding us going this year, and they're fit. We're ready.
Has it been pretty kind of light training sessions over the last 2 weeks, or how has it been?
Oh, well, the week after the league final there, we upped the training a little bit, so it's all kind of cooling down a bit there with last week, so we're just ready to go now, just making sure that we're injury free and everybody is ready.
They're looking fresh.
They are looking fresh. They're looking forward to the game tomorrow. It's a big game for Rock Chapel, and it's a big game for all of us, so we have to be up and ready for it now. Even the Kinmare are red hot favourites to win it, but we have to go back, we have to play them, and that's it.
Yeah, have you got any reports of Kinmare Shamrocks, how they set up and how they go about their business?
Well, I look, we didn't go to see them because we don't believe in much in the other teams play, but what I hear about them and read about them is that they're very fast and the attack from the back, and you have to be ready for that. So we just have to be ready and wide awake for it, and if we don't, we're going to be in the losing end. But hopefully our boys will stand up to tomorrow now, and if we can go out and play the way we can play, we'll give a good account of ourselves, and after that we can't expect any more.
Kilmare put up 123 last weekend against the Waterford side, so they have a bit of firepower as well, I guess.
Well, they must have 123 on the conditions last, and there was a very high scoring, but I don't know how good Kilmare Thomas were. Were they excellent? But I'd imagine Kilmare are a good side, and they have a huge pick from out into Kilgavin. So really, we don't know much about them, but
yeah.
The game is there for us. We have to go out, we have to play it, and we'll be ready for it.
Is the fact that they played last weekend an advantage for them or a disadvantage for you, do you think?
Well, I suppose it'd be an advantage for them, because they're coming off the back of a huge win, and the heads are up, and we have to counteract that. But having said that, we have our 2 weeks break now, and we're good and fresh, and I hope that we can play our football and play the best of football back there in Killarney. It's the place to play it.
Does it make a difference that it's on in Killarney for you?
Not really. Look, it's all the same to us. If it's in Killarney, it's a bit somewhere else, and we're ready to go to Killarney. It's only back to the road from us. Really, we're only 25 miles from Killarney, so
yeah.
We know Killarney pretty well. We never played there before in our lives, so it's going to be a big day for the club, big day for the players, big day for everybody, and I hope our supporters will come out and help us along the way.
There must be a great atmosphere up around the parish, is there?
Yeah, there's a great atmosphere in Dockchapel now. You know, the doom and gloom has gone out of the place there, and the sessions, whatever. The football brings it all together. That's all that's up in Dockchapel is football. There's no other sport there. They don't play hurling or rugby or soccer or anything like that. So it's all GA, it's all football. And I hope tomorrow that we can play to our ability and see how far it takes us.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I suppose just one defeat all year as well, Tom. So that must fill you with confidence.
One defeat, but you know, tomorrow, that won't be here nor there tomorrow if you're beaten. But look, I suppose it's a great achievement that I have one defeat in the year. Is, you know, it's a great testament to the players, and definitely a huge effort, and we'll just see what happens tomorrow. That's all we can do.
Are you confident the lads can go to 100%, they can do it?
Well, I think if we play to our full ability and play with a bit of confidence and throw the shackles off tomorrow and do our best, every fella put in a good solid hour around in 10 minutes there, anything can happen.
Fingers crossed for you, Tom. Best of luck going down there.
Thank you very much.
That's Tom Dooley there, Rockchapel manager, speaking ahead of their game with Kenmare Shamrocks tomorrow in the Munster Junior Football Semi-Final. And best of luck to Rockchapel. Going to switch focus, talk rugby for a brief while, and Dolphin picking up a good win on the road today in the AIL, beating UL Bohemians. Richie Whelan was there for us.
Today, Dolphin travelled to Limerick to take on a star-studded UL Bohs team, which included, among others, Munster star JJ Hanrahan. Indeed, Hanrahan did open the Bulls' account with a penalty to give them a 3-0 lead. Coming close to half-time, Dolphin looked in trouble, with European Cup winner Dennis Furley in the sin bin, along with Ryan Murphy, leaving Dolphin with just 13 men. However, veteran Barry Keeshan got a penalty for Dolphin on the stroke of half-time to lead the score 3-all at half-time. JJ Hanrahan missed two kicks for UL Bulls, and Bulls were unable to take the pressure of the dominant Dolphin forwards. Ben Martin for Bowes and Keeshan for Dolphin exchanged penalties, and Martin got another penalty while Keeshan got a drop goal for Dolphin. In the closing stages, it looked like stalemate at 9-all until Barry Keeshan slotted over from long range to give Dolphin a 12-9 lead. Deep into added injury time, it looked like Dolphin would walk away with the spoils and Bowes with a losing bonus point, until Dolphin centre Harry Fleming intercepted and scored a try for Dolphin to allow Keeshan to slot over from short range to give Dolphin a well-deserved win entering the Christmas break. It finished Dolphin 19, UL Bowes 19.
Elsewhere, a comfortable enough win for Corcon today over Shannon at Temple Hill. Stan Walden.
Constitution met Shannon today at Temple Hill, and Constitution eked out a very good 23-15 victory. In the 9th minute, Johnny Holland put his side ahead with a penalty, and after 20 minutes, Conor Desmond intercepted on the 10-metre line and made it to the goal line to give Johnny Holland an easy conversion, 10-0. Johnny Holland had another penalty, a second penalty after 29 minutes for an offside under the post, 13-0 at the break. Second half, Shannon made a bit of a comeback. 45 minutes, Rob Gearden, scrum half, scored a try and converted for 13-7. He added a penalty in 50 minutes, 13-10, but Johnny Holland kicked another penalty to stretch Cannon's lead to 16-10. Jerry Hurley scored a cheeky try when he chipped the ball from the back of an uncontrolled scrum by Shannon to the line and scored. Johnny Holland converted 23-10. And in the final minute, Cormac O'Donnell scored a try for Shannon to lead the final score. Cork Constitution 23, Shannon 15.
So after that, clubs take a break for December. Con currently fourth in the table, Dolphin just behind in fifth. 55 minutes on the clock at the Medeski Stadium. Remains Reading 3, Manchester United 4. Second half not as lively as the first half, shall we say. Going top Munster now, just first going to get you up to date on the games that are happening at the moment. Connacht trailing Edinburgh 24 points to 23 at the Sports Ground Cracker. Leinster 17 nil up on Zebre. Munster take on Glasgow tonight in Thomond Park. Rob Penny has recalled the bulk of his Irish internationals to the team. They look to bounce back from last Sunday's defeat to the Scarlets. Simon Zebo, Keith Earls, Ronan O'Gara returning to the back line. Dave Kilcoyne, Dunnock O'Callaghan, Dunnock O'Ryan are in the pack. James Caw and CJ Stander in the back row. And this is the head coach speaking earlier this week.
Rob, on a positive note, looking back at the international, you must be very pleased with the way your lads played up there.
Oh yeah, look, I haven't been here that long, but I was really proud. I was cheering them on as fervently as any Irishman would have. I thought their performance was tremendous, and it's a great credit to the management group and the players that were out there doing a great job under a bit of pressure, and it was great to see the result.
Now, you've got one of those headaches on selection that, well, a lot of coaches would like. You've got Simon Zebo, who had a great game at fullback. Now he's coming into your setup, and what way is that going to go?
Well, the team will be named on Thursday, so watch the space. Really, he's a talented individual. We've got a great bunch here. They're all working really hard, and it's just about exposing some and giving people the opportunity, but also doing the right thing by the team.
Now, last Sunday's night match, it was one of those matches where it'd be nice to be in front of a nice warm fire. The conditions were horrendous, weren't they, Rob?
Arctic-like would be a term you could use. And from what people have told me, it's a wee bit unusual for Cork to get weather like that. So, it was really disappointing. The boys were playing a good brand, and unfortunately, we created some opportunities in that first half that we didn't quite finish on, and then all of a sudden the heavens opened, and we still played some good footy, but it was always going to be a tough ask given the force of the wind, which was unexpected. It was always going to come down to one error, two errors, and unfortunately the Scarlets boys managed to capitalise on something that we did in the end of the game. So really disappointing from our perspective, really disappointed for the fans that turned up in such bleak conditions. But all we can assure them is that we're back on the horse this week, and we're going to give it a real good crack against Glasgow.
Just a quick word with Marcus Horn there, and he was particularly frustrated with the scrums and the interpretation of the referee.
Oh yeah, we've got to be better than that too. To be fair, we've it's all very well pointing the finger at the outside. We've got to look in the mirror first to make sure we've got our own backyard in order.
Yes, but still this early engagement penalty, and you were on a number of occasions, I can remember, just 5 minutes into the game, 5 metre scrum, all set for an attack line out, early engagement penalty, and in the second half quite a number of those as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. We were we worked really hard into that terrible wind and rain, and got ourselves into a position where we could capitalise, and just let ourselves down through a bit of indiscipline. And that's what hurts probably the most, is that large facets of the game we'd actually achieve some really good things in difficult conditions with a young side, and put ourselves in a position where we could have capitalised and didn't. And that is really disappointing.
I know people don't like to talk about dress rehearsals, but you're playing Glasgow now this Saturday, and the following week then it's Saracens in the Heineken Cup.
It is. Let's get through Glasgow first. We've got some Rabo points to pick up, hopefully well before we even think about Heineken, one step at a time.
That's Rob Penny there speaking ahead of tonight's clash with Glasgow and Thomond Park. A 7:45 kickoff in that game. No scores elsewhere in the other games involving Irish provinces this evening. It remains Connacht 23, Edinburgh 24, Leinster 17, Zebre 0. And it's still
Reading 3, Manchester United 4, and there is 60 minutes on the clock there. Now it's time to wrap up today's action, including, starting with the early kickoff at Upton Park, where Rafa Benitez is under increasing pressure.
West Ham 3, Chelsea 1, cracking London derby. Chelsea utterly dominant in the first half, but only had Juan Mata's 13th minute strike to show for it. We wondered if that would be enough. It wasn't, as the Hammers roared back, level in the 63rd. Through the tireless Carlton Cole. Coulthard provided with 5 minutes to go, setting up Tiami, an inspired second half substitute to drive home. Still time for another sub, Maiga to score as Chelsea fell apart. West Ham 3, Chelsea 1.
Arsenal 0, Swansea 2. Swansea left it late, but thoroughly deserved their victory. 2 minutes remained when Michu got the run of the ball on the edge of the area and went on to clip it past the keeper. And then in stoppage time, Carl Jenkinson gave the ball away to Michu. He ran on to finish calmly and confidently past the keeper, his 10th league goal of the season. The Swansea players celebrated on the pitch in front of 3,000 travelling fans. A famous win, but one that increases the pressure on Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger. Arsenal 0, Swansea 2.
Manchester City 1, Everton 1. Everton deservedly getting themselves a point here as their hoodoo over Manchester City continued. It was Everton who went into front when Liam Baines' cross found Fellaini. His first attempt was saved by Hart, but the big Belgian fumbled home the rebound. City equalised though through Carlos Tevez after Fellaini gone from hero to villain, pulling down Dzeko in the area, and only for fine saves from Joe Hart, from Fellaini and Jelovic in the second half, Everton might have gone better with a three-pointer. It's Manchester City 1, Everton 1.
A game dominated by Liverpool, who went in at the break, a goal up courtesy of Daniel Haggar header after a Luis Suarez free kick came back off the crossbar. Before that, Liverpool has squandered numerous chances, Gerrard, Johnson and Shelby all culpable. In the second half, it was much of the same without the goal. Enrique forced Gazinga into making two excellent saved from fierce drives, and Suarez headed over from 3 yards out. Southampton were bereft of ideas and in fact never managed a single shot on goal in the whole 90 minutes, and that's why it ended Liverpool 1, Southampton 0.
They finished Rangers 1, Villa 1. Honours even then here at Loftus Road in a pulsating counter which both sides played their part. Holman had put Villa into the lead on 8 minutes early for Jamie Mackie to equalise with a header on 10 minutes later. Harry Redknapp will be disappointed his side didn't take the points but will ruin Guzan in the Villa goal, who made a string of fine saves, and when Clint Hill headed against the bar near the end, you just knew it wasn't going to be Harry's day. It finished at Loftus Road. Queen's Park Rangers 1, Aston Villa 1.
Fulham 0, Spurs 3. An excellent game with plenty of entertaining football from both sides. Spurs were sharper in the final third of the field, and that is what counted. After a goalless first half, Sandro's thunderous 30-yarder opened the scoring. Sigurdsson's slalom dribble and Defoe's simple finish made it 2-0. Then Dempsey set up Defoe on the break for his second and Spurs third. The scoreline's a flattering one, but the result is the right one. Fulham 0, Spurs 3.
West Bromwich Albion 0, Stoke City 1. Dean Whitehead's goal in the 75th minute has separated the two sides. He was a substitute. It was made by substitute Michael Keitley. Stoke's defence held out despite the attacks late on from West Bromwich Albion. We always beat West Brom, sang the Stoke fans at the end of this game. They certainly have. Finished West Brom 0, Stoke 1.
Reading and Manchester United are somewhat petered out. It's 62 minutes on the clock. It's Reading 3, Manchester United 4. Not much has happened at all in the second half. In fact, you might say it's a bit dull.
It's been
The first half was great. I'm not denying that. The second half has been rubbish, absolutely rubbish. It wouldn't be too surprising to see the game end this way. I think United are happy enough. I don't think they're going to let Reading in too many more times. They've tightened up an awful lot at the back. Raphael getting hauled off unceremoniously as well by Alex Ferguson in a tactical switch, and then Phil Jones coming on, which is kind of a big moment, but he's on, he's doing okay. United have a chance here now, and it isn't going to win. Looking at today's result, and I suppose the one that stands out is Arsenal's defeat and the pressure now that is under Arsene Wenger. There was a lot of angry Arsenal fans in the ground today after that game. I've seen it described as the Liverpool sack race between him and Rafa Benitez this evening. It's not looking good for him, is it?
No, and I think the fans are really starting to turn on him now. A lot of fans who would be kind of good in terms of like being fair with results and all that kind of stuff, they've turned on him now as well, and they think he should go. And they reckon he's just brought the cycle as far as he possibly could have. And it's just even the squad of players they have now, it's not Arsenal. I mean, it looks like a bit patched together for me or whatever, but they're down in 10th place now after 15 games, and losing at home to Swansea, Arsenal used to do that, so there are definitely big problems there. But what do you think Wenger should go?
I don't think he will, and I don't think he should go, to be perfect honest. It's just a slump in form, I suppose. I mean, like, he has to be given the January transfer window anyway to bring in some players and try and improve the slump that they're on. But as you say, 10th place in the league, 15 points off top spot at the moment, certainly not looking good for him or for Rafa Benitez. Yeah. 3 games in, 1 goal, 1 point, 2 points, excuse me, and a big defeat today, it has to be said.
He has to go, does he? He has to be sacked at this stage. I mean, what? No wins in 3 games? He has to go. Yeah, it was a really bad result today, and they started so well. They were brilliant in the first half. Went 1-0 up to Juan Mata, who is their best player, and
by far.
I love watching him. I think he's such a class player. Torres had a few chances, should have scored, and then West Ham kind of bullied their way back into the game. Really, Mohamed Diami came on in the second half, and he actually changed the game completely. He was so dynamic. He got the second goal to put them 2-1 up. And then Maiga got the third goal to put a 3-1 up. But very disappointing result for Chelsea. And just the pressure is going to mount on Benitez, because if they get knocked out of the Champions League, it's all going to fall on him. And then they go off to Japan to the World Club Championship. And I mean, the travel alone for that makes it difficult. So some tough times ahead for Benitez. Will he make Christmas?
Yeah, he will. I'd imagine so. I'd be very surprised if he didn't. It's not great for them, though, it has to be said. And up next, which I'm not sure who Chelsea have up next, but it's not going to be easy for Benitez to win over the fans, especially when they're playing in Stamford Bridge. They're going to be very boisterous. They're going to be on his back from the world goal. And that's going to creep into the players' mindset as well. It's going to affect their thinking, and it's going to make them question themselves and doubt themselves, as I think we've been seeing the report today. And that is going to continue. Before we hand you over to Stevie G for Black on it, do we have to talk about Freddie Flintoff?
Yeah, we do. I want to get your take on it. A lot of people say it was an insult to professional boxing what happened last night.
I'd be one of them, yeah.
Why?
Basically, right, I got a bit of flack on Twitter last night because I was tweeting about this and saying it was a disgrace. I said I've seen more technique in two drunk guys fighting outside a chipper at 4 a.m. Basically, Flintoff's right hand was like a kitten pawing at a ball of wool. The thing is, this was a professional fight, and therefore this has to be judged on professional terms. If this were an amateur white-collar boxing night that Flintoff had stepped into the ring for charity and did a few months training for and learned how to box and got in there and fought, you'd say fair play to the guy, well done.
Yeah.
Even by white-collar boxing standards, this was absolutely abysmal. The guy he was fighting was a complete nutter tomato can. Didn't throw anything throughout the entire fight. Threw one punch in the second round, which landed on Flintoff's chin, which put him on the floor. Didn't throw a punch after that. Basically a human punch bag, right? Didn't throw anything. Brought in not to win, just to dance around with Flintoff for 8 minutes and basically make sure that Flintoff wins. And he did. He won 39-38. Flintoff, for a guy who was training for the last 6 months with
four
Barry,
months even
4 months
yeah, even shorter
with Barry McGuigan and Shane McGuigan, his son, for a guy like that not to be able to throw a right hand, now that's a pretty basic punch in boxing, okay, the 1-2 jab straight,
right,
for him not to be able to throw his right hand properly was absolutely disgraceful. You see guys in boxing gyms who have 2 weeks boxing experience under their belts who can throw right hands properly. He couldn't do that. He looked absolutely appalling. Absolutely appalling. Pawing his punches, pushing his opponent. It was absolutely dreadful. And as I say, as a professional fight, it has to be judged. It has to be criticised as a professional fight. And as a professional fight, it was an absolute embarrassment. It was basically WWE in a boxing ring. That's all it was. This guy was brought in for Flintoff to punch around for 8 minutes so Freddie could make a few quid, and that's what it all boils down to at the end of the day, was Freddie Flintoff making a lot of money for 8 minutes last night and basically shining yet another bad light on boxing.
Well said. I've no comeback to that. I agree with you. Yeah,
I was angry watching that last night.
What annoys me is that it was such a big pay-per-view on Box Nation and all this, and there's been people boxing, some great boxers out there and fighters out there.
5,000 people in the MEN last night for it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And like Freddie Flintoff, just because he's a celebrity, former England cricket captain, gets this big, huge night for him. And when there's obviously clearly better fighters out there who would deserve their opportunity to fight in front of a crowd like that. But it's happened, I suppose. For Freddie Flintoff, seems like a good guy, though.
He does,
in fairness.
Like, and you can see, I watched a bit of that, the preview show on Thursday night. He put a bit of work in. You could see like he was training hard. He got into great shape for it, in fairness. He looked really, really well at the weigh-in. There was a bit in the show where he was... Mike Tyson came to visit the gym and give him some analysis, and Mike was kind of like, you know, saying, yeah, your 1-2 looks great. You could see Mike almost biting his lip looking at him. But like, as I say, fair play to the dude for stepping in. Like, you know, it takes balls for a guy to get into a ring and fight another guy and get punched in the face for everyone's entertainment. But as a professional boxing bout, it was mortifyingly embarrassing.
So really it was just good TV in the end of the day,
basically. Car crash TV, I think, would be the technical term. As you can tell, not a big fan of that fight last night. Reading 3 Manchester United 4, 70 minutes on the clock, snooze fest in the second half, it has to be said. Right, that is our show for you tonight. Thank you very much for tuning our way. Stevie's up next with Black on Red. Greg and Shane in from 10 o'clock, celebrating their 24th birthday in the pavilion last night as well. Good night, so I heard. We are back tomorrow from 6 p.m. enjoy. Good evening, folks. We'll talk to you then.
Red FM's Big Red Bench. With Rudin's on Washington Street. Probably the best bar in the world. 104 to 106. Cork. Red FM.